Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Lillard to Prince in the corner, and he cans the three. Taurean Prince answers one big bucket with another.
Butts Talk starts now.
And Milwaukee with a hard-earned 116-110 win tonight, taking down the Clippers here at Fiserv Forum.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Strong wins sandwiched together for the Bucks, beating the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road to go into the All-Star break, doing that without Giannis and Damian Lillard, and then winning tonight with Giannis unavailable for half of the fourth quarter. Still kind of felt like a work in progress and trying to figure out how this fit together with a very new look Bucks team. And Giannis and Damian Lillard, at least in the first half of this game, that kind of felt like, I don't want to say going through the motions, but it had the feels of a warm-up game. A disastrous third quarter. Like, there's no other way to slice this for the Bucks. To come back and put together the fourth quarter that they did, this is one of their more impressive wins this season.
Yeah, Justin, huge, huge win. I thought the win against Minnesota going into the All-Star break was also huge for a few reasons. You wanted to go into that break with a little bit of momentum, right? They had dropped a few games prior to that. Tonight, I thought, was huge because you wanted to start the second part of this season with that continued momentum that you got in Minnesota when you won that game without Giannis and without Damian Lillard. And then you learn earlier in the day that, you know, the news about Bobby Portis, and I know we'll get to that later on. The struggles in the third quarter again kind of happened again for this Bucks team. I'm sure we'll dive into that later on as well. But the good news for this team is another win. And the game ball tonight was an easy one for me. I think about halfway through the fourth quarter, I kind of knew where this one was going. He is somebody who I would say I'm critical of at times, unfairly at times, and sometimes I guess fairly. But the game ball tonight, going out to the big guy, Brook Lopez, 22 points, Justin, including four made three-pointers. He also had the four blocks. It started early for him in this game, and it kind of carried all night long, especially late into that fourth quarter. The second leading scorer for this Bucks team tonight. It felt like his second half buckets, especially in the fourth quarter, were all just big shots, big timely shots for this Bucks team. So shout out to Brook Lopez, who gets the game ball tonight. An absolutely phenomenal game from him on both ends of the floor. We're accustomed to the defense, but 22 points for him tonight was absolutely huge for a team that was on minute restrictions with Giannis and Dame. And just an honorable mention real quick, Justin, shout out to number 34. Hasn't played, I don't know, 3 weeks now? What are we going on? Close to 3 weeks, scored the first 8 points in the fourth quarter. The Bucks were down double digits when that happened. He left the game with 6.5 minutes, though. And the Bucks were down by five, and that was the response from this team, a 116-110 win against a really good L.A. Clipper team. So just an absolutely incredible response from this Bucks team tonight, Justin. A huge, huge win to kick off the quote-unquote second half of the regular season.
I want to go back to your selection for the game ball. So you said at times... which would imply there are times you are not critical of Brook Lopez.
Oh, I'm critical of him, and sometimes it's fair and sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm hard on him for no reason. He's one of those players for me, Justin, where I'll look back and I'll admit to myself later on that I just didn't appreciate him enough when he was in Milwaukee. Because I think what he does, like, four blocks it's incredible, right? And it kind of goes to show you. You and Dave were on the call early in the game talking about the post defense with when you have a guy like Giannis and Brook and what that does to opposing offenses. So, yeah, there's going to be a moment in my life, and maybe it's tonight, where I look back and I'm like, I just didn't appreciate him enough. I love Brook Lopez. I just think that sometimes when he decides to shoot some of the shots, I would just say stop
when you're ahead.
I still love him. I love him. And he's getting the game ball tonight. And one day I'll look back and I'll say I was probably a little too harsh on him at times.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As we mentioned, back-to-back very strong wins for this Bucks team, beating the Timberwolves without Giannis and Dame going into the break and now winning this game the way that they did tonight. And one of the things that makes this impressive and was certainly hanging over the Bucks coming into this game today is what you referenced before, Brandon. So I do want to get into the biggest piece of news of the day for the Bucks, and that is, of course, the suspension handed down to Bobby Portis, a timeline of events, and some of the things that Doc Rivers had to say about that suspension before the game, and kind of reading between the lines what it may mean in terms of when this all started to come into play and what the Bucks' options were with the suspension. So we'll get into that and get your thoughts on the 25-game suspension to Bobby Portis and what it means for the Bucks coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 116-110, the final. The Bucks come back and take down the Clippers tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. This is the first game in a 25-game stretch. The Bucks are going to be playing without Bobby Portis, as he was given the news breaking, late this morning. Bobby Portis suspended for 25 games by the league. Doc Rivers spoke at length about this before the game. I want to run through some of the things that he had to say, but you knew something was up just for the timeline of events here. The Bucks had a shoot-around this morning and had some media availability at originally planned for about 10:45, 11 o'clock, and about 30 minutes prior to that, we were told, hey, change of plans. There's no media availability today after all, which whenever that happens, you're thinking, what's coming next? What did I miss here? And it was shortly after that that we see the word break from Sham Sharani that Bobby Portis suspended 25 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. And I think we got some calls to get to, but that's the place to start right there. Doc Rivers wanted to clear the air with their support for Bobby Portis, what all of this means, and some gripes that he has with not only the policy itself, but just having to see the messaging that Bobby Portis has been suspended for violating the substance abuse policy. And as Doc reiterated, Bobby is not a drug user. And I want to clear some things up. It bothers me in a lot of ways that stigma is wrong. He's not a drug user. I hate that it just says you flunked the drug policy. People read that, and the first place they go is the wrong place. This was a mistake. It's as big a mistake that can be made, but it bothers me on a lot of levels. I'm trying to steer close to the middle here to not get in too much trouble, but rules are rules. There are human circumstances and common sense that can also be applied, and Bobby is not a cheater. So to me, that's what we have to figure out a little bit. When it's close and when it's clear, you can tell from the blood samples. That was the only time he had ever taken that substance. The story that he had told checked out, and we vetted it as well. We feel bad for Bobby on so many levels for what he has gone through, not just with this. Remember, he just returned from having lost his grandmother as well. But I did tell him it's going to be a hell of a story for you. Our goals have not changed as a team. This is going to be hard now to play these 25 games without Bobby Portis. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. We need his spirit. We need what he brings on the floor for us as well. And then also just encourage, look, we're lifting him up. We're trying to keep him around us as much as possible. He encouraged Bucks fans, when you see Bobby in the community, to do the same thing as well, and gave some details too. He can practice with the team, but once you get to 2 hours before tip time, he'll have to leave the arena and can't be there. They're still trying to get, I don't know if it's exception or clearance or see what they can actually do, but they're hoping he can travel with them. And then apparently we just have to go back to the hotel 2 hours before the game. So that part is still rather ambiguous. There's one other thing I found interesting that Doc Rivers had to say that I want to get to in a second. But I get, what was your reaction when you saw this, Brandon?
Yeah, Justin, it was tough, man. Because like, if you take the basketball part out of it for a second, like at the end of the day, we're all human beings. Like, I've made mistakes in my life. I'm sure everybody, you know, on this show has made mistakes in their life and have done things that they wish they could go back and fix. And when you look at his season that he's had off of the court, Justin, I feel awful for the guy. You know, you go back to November when his house gets burglarized, right? And he goes on social media and he's like, man, if you guys know where my stuff is or if anybody has an idea, can you help me out? And then in January, he loses the matriarch of his family and his grandmother.
His grandmother has to, yeah. I mean, as you mentioned, everybody's human. I'm sure Bobby Portis had not only that and trying to wrap things up, which he did finally get some sense of closure to that home invasion that you spoke of, but also, like, you know, Bobby Portis hears the stuff, too, that you have to deal with my name being circulated in trade rumors, too, and that all coming to a head at the same time.
Yeah. I felt bad. I didn't think about the basketball thing. You know, obviously it's going to suck when you lose a guy that's a double-double machine off your bench. But I just looked at the personal side of it, and I'm like, man, this guy has had a awful, you know, type of year where it's just like every other month it feels like something major in his life is happening. And look, ever since he's come to Milwaukee, you know, I can't speak on his days in Chicago or like, I don't know all everything that's happened before he came into Milwaukee. But ever since he has stepped foot in the city of Milwaukee, Justin, he has done everything the right way. On the court, off the court, in the locker room, he has been the example that Bucks fans have literally chanted his name for everything that he does on the court to get him riled up. I mean, he's a spokesperson for Bucks basketball. Like, this is a mistake. Doc Rivers said it's as big of a mistake as you can make. I would disagree with that, but it's a bad mistake. He'll definitely learn from it. You know, the Bucks are going to have to figure things out on the court. But I hope Bobby is listening, because I know he's a big fan of this show. I got his back, man. I'm here for. I hope all Bucks fans kind of rally
Brooke
around
Lopez
Bobby.
Is listening too.
He does. He definitely. And shout out to Q on the YouTube chat talking about the Brooke Lopez's haircut. I just hope all Bucks fans rally around him, Justin. The way that Bobby has rallied around us in his time here in Milwaukee, and we learn from this, and we just move on. And I pray that you know, on the personal side of his life, that things start to even out for him, because he's been handed an unfair Delta cards here, but you know, over the last few months.
So the 25 game suspension comes when you have 29 games left. It's going to take you all the way until I think April 8th. Your final four games of the season. So for all intents and purposes, you're without Bobby Portis for the rest of the regular season. It could be much worse. And Doc Rivers, I think, kind of hinted at this when he was trying to explain more of the timelines and how long this was kind of a known thing. I think that opens up an entirely different can of worms, too, when we talk about things like the trade deadline and revisit what we're going to revisit with tomorrow's game and the trade that brought Kyle Kuzma and Jericho Sims here. I want to get to that in a second as well, but, I guess just starting there, the last thing I'll say before we get to a couple of calls, Doc had said there is an appeals process, but the danger of that is too great to take. I'll leave it at that. He tested positive a long time ago, and this has been the fight ever since. So, I had heard it was sometime in the fall that the positive test came through, and I don't know if it was adjudication or what. It certainly wasn't an appeal that Doc had said. There is a possibility that we could have appealed this, but we felt the risk was too great. I take that to mean we can appeal it. We are probably going to lose it because it is a pretty black and white rule. And I saw people point out, too, Draymond Green got X amount of games for choking Rudy Gobert. Miles Bridges got 15 or so games.
Yep.
For his off-the-court issues. Kevin Porter Jr., member of the Bucks, I don't believe served a suspension. So you can point to those things, and I get it. It's a black and white rule with this, and I think that's unfortunately what Bobby was up against. So to that point that Doc Rivers made, I took that as we can appeal it, sure, but because of that, and Bobby was pretty forthright, I took something, I thought it was something else, The person I took it from had a prescription for it. It is my assistant. It is somebody that Bobby Portis trusts immensely. That's the mistake that Doc Rivers refers to about making a big mistake. I mean, you have to be so careful about what you put in your body when you're at that level and you know you're going to be tested no matter how much trust you have in what someone says. That's the mistake portion of it. But when he says the danger of it was too great for us to appeal, I mean, I just take that as, look, if we appeal this, we recognize we're probably going to lose. The appeal process gets drawn out, and maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks from now that we appeal. The final verdict comes down. Yeah, I mean, you still lose this. It's a 25-game suspension, and by then, maybe you're 10, 12 games into it where you're talking about, okay, you're going to serve 13 games in the regular season, and then the rest has to come in the playoffs. So that's what they were up against and why I think they just said, look, this may be one of the things where time is on our side. That, yeah, it's not great to go through this without Bobby, but we know we're at least going to get him back for the final few games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, you take it, you know, to put the basketball part into it, Justin, like, it's going to be hard to, you know, to pick up where Bobby Portis has left off. I mean, he comes off the bench and he snags, you know, 10 rebounds and adds 15 points, and sometimes he starts when Giannis has been out. And then you look at the totality of this Bucks team, right? And the exciting thing for me was going into the All-Star break was that the team was starting to get healthy. Like, you were resting Giannis, but you kind of assumed that he would be back. And you wanted to get this team all together, like playing together. And I know Doc Rivers had talked about this pregame. I think that's the thing that is also, you know, it's just like, man, on the court, we can't catch a break because it's just, it's, you know, one thing after another. It's injuries, it's trade deadline, it's, you know, what have you. But I also look back at the trade deadline that was, you know, highly criticized. And where would this Bucks team be without Kyle Kuzma?
So I do want to get into that because I wonder how much this, not saying it's entirely because of it. I wonder how much this played in what we saw. I do want to get into that conversation. But we do have a few calls to get to, so we'll do that after the break. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll hear your thoughts on this win tonight, the Bobby Portis suspension, something else you mentioned too. Giannis's comments were very interesting. I'm not talking about the ones that spread about his long-term future in Milwaukee. What he said about the injury, very interesting as well. So we'll get to all of that coming up next.
Drives the other way, runs into a crowd. He gets fouled, but he lays it in anyway. The Greek Freak is recharging and recalibrating. His team is back to within 10 again, riding his oversized shoulders.
Yeah, there's several important stretches in this game. I thought that second unit was very important. In the first half, they played with a different energy and pace for this team. I think they did a number of that, or they brought a lot of that, I should say, in the early portion of the fourth quarter as well to help the Bucks kind of grab the rope once again. But Giannis's first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter equally huge, where he just started to take over the game. Bucks started to get some stops and eventually mounted this comeback and take down the Clippers tonight, the first game they're playing without Bobby Portis in this 25-game suspension. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. You kick things off.
Yeah, hi, guys. I don't know if you care, but Canada won that. They're in
I just saw that,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So who cares about that? I got 3 points. And two, I think we can go through quick, but I think, Justin, I think I'm going to hit the one that, with you and Giannis, what the comments he made. If we would have kept Chris and Marshawn, we lose this game tonight. The three new guys, I think, produced the victory, and I like what I see from them. The thing with Bobby, it's a failure on many levels. I can't believe the training staff doesn't take control and monitor the medications these guys are taking. Bobby's got to be told that you just don't take someone else's meds. You don't need dosages. You don't know what the heck their dosage is. The guy's shorter, bigger, heavier, whatever. Very dangerous thing to do. I think the NBA, I don't even think they've released a statement yet. I think the amount of games is he had to be suspended. I have no qualms at all about that, because that's how you control the drugs. I mean, you want to go back to the 70s? I mean, I lived through that. So I don't have an issue with that, but I think this late in the season, the hand down 25, I think after a point, since it was litigated for most of the season, it should be prorated.
Well,
and a guy that commits domestic abuse, like Bridges, he got 10 games.
So
it doesn't balance out.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I will just point out it's unfortunately a CBA thing, that it's black and white. First drug offense, and again, that was the point that Doc Rivers made. That can carry a stigma. Like, it's not that Bobby is out here just using and abusing recreational drugs.
No, not at all.
But the first drug offense is a 25-game suspension. It's not up for interpretation. The second is 55 games. So okay, that's okay, unfortunately
so
what you're
so
up against.
Domestic abuse is only worth 10.
Yeah, I mean that varies, unfortunately, too, that we've seen less than 10.
Yeah, well, okay.
So,
yeah, so I think there's fault all the way around, and they're probably smart for taking it now. The most important thing that I'm concerned about is I've seen Giannis's comments about his injury. He describes it exactly as the one that happened a year ago.
Yep.
He's concerned about his Achilles tendon. And I don't know if you noticed tonight, every time he came out, they didn't work on his calf. They put an ice wrap on his Achilles tendon.
Yep, he was wearing a wrap throughout the game.
And he mentioned in that interview, and what I read is he feels twinges or something to that effect in the Achilles tendon area. Those muscles are interrelated. Now, I know some of the studies you quoted said there's no direct correlation, but it is kind of weird that a fair number of people have had this that started off with a pulled calf. And that's where my concern is for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think the biggest, and I think we talked about this last time, the biggest one you would point to is Kevin Durant. I mean, Luka Doncic has not suffered an Achilles injury yet, and he's had even more calf issues than Giannis. But that was the thing that struck me the most, too, Dick. Not just that, but I suppose if we want to look at this as a glass half full view, is I do wonder, games played for Giannis in the second half and even tomorrow, like we assumed, this game that the Bucks, you know, guys are going to want to play in, because Wizards submitted their injury report for tomorrow. Chris Middleton is not on it. So Chris Middleton is going to be playing in that game. But I do wonder who we see tomorrow, because my bigger takeaway from that was Giannis saying, you know, it's not like it just occurred all of a sudden in that game against the Celtics. Like, I started to feel things for about a month leading into it where something would be discomfort that I'm feeling, right? I'd feel a little bit of a twinge, and I would just take a day, right, work through it. And then all of a sudden it just exploded on me. So in that sense, you know, like, all right, you could see you were building towards something and you tried to just push through it. So it's something that we can learn from and do a little bit differently. But the fact that you can try to handle this differently, I don't want to say it's a ticking time bomb, but if it's something that's continually there, I mean, it's going to be impossible to remove any of that concern from anybody's mind.
Yeah, and I think you sit them tomorrow. If we can beat a great defensive team like LA is, why put them out there?
Yeah, I mean, look, and if he doesn't play any back-to-backs from here on out this season, who cares? You don't have back-to-backs in the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't have back-to-backs in the playoffs. And they came up with 6 minutes per quarter.
Yep.
I wonder where the science is on that. But and don't forget, Luka was out for 6 weeks with a calf injury.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Now, he's not in as great a shape as Giannis is.
Well, I mean, that's up for debate. You must be reading Dallas papers, Dick.
Well, I mean, he was up at 250 at one point.
You heard from
Nico? Arguably 270.
Yeah, 270, yeah. But he's a shooter. He's not a driver, per se. So, anyways, those are my comments for the night. Thanks for taking them.
All right, see you, Dick.
Giannis has got to play, Justin, at least the first couple minutes. I got to see him on Chris tomorrow and then take him out.
I mean, no. Like,
play the first few minutes. You got to.
No, I can assure you.
I mean, I'm with you.
They would not do that, and the sports science team has the data and percentages of how much of an impact it makes, which are entirely proprietary and not to be shared. But the difference in let's just play this guy 8 minutes early in the game versus let's give him an entire game off, it is entirely different. And
oh, sure.
And I know Doc Rivers has talked about this before with other players. Giannis was one of them. If you make the determination, and again, the tough part about it is what tomorrow's game is. You're going to be seeing Chris Middleton for the first time, and the relationship that he has, not just with Giannis, but the number of guys on this team, what he means to the franchise. He's very likely playing in that game, not listed on the injury report. So I get that component to it, but if you have already determined, look, we're not playing Giannis in both games of a back-to-back go forward, don't even send him on the flight, because that's another thing the sports science team here can show you, the advantages of not even getting on that flight, staying here, going through treatment, sleeping in your own bed. Like, just do that if that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, and to add to that, you got a game Sunday against another team that
you got five games in 8 days to open up the All-Star break.
I'm just speaking from the fan standpoint that I would love to see Giannis and Chris go at it, but I don't think this is really even up for debate if you're looking at it outside of the goggles that I'm looking at it through, Justin, is that, yeah, you sit him. I don't know. I mean, how injured is Damian Lillard? I guess that's another conversation for another segment, but he definitely didn't look like himself tonight. I would think about sitting both of those guys and leaving him back in Milwaukee.
Giannis didn't look like, Giannis, I don't mean this in a bad way, just kind of looked like he was there and going through.
He did. Yeah,
a lot of, very much going through the motions in the first half or so, and then finally, all right, now it's go time in the fourth quarter, and you saw what that lift gave this Bucks team. So, yeah, how they handle tomorrow is going to be very interesting, because we mentioned this at the time of the trade when you started to look ahead to the schedule the Bucks had and realized, oh, they play the Wizards pretty early into the second half schedule. Then you saw Chris Middleton away from the team, and the Wizards mentioning too, Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart, two players they acquired, had already told them, yeah, just you can take some time to be away from the team and sort through all this through the All-Star break. After that is when we figure out how we move forward here. And you kind of got the sense, oh, man, is Chris Middleton's first game going to be against the Bucks? And here we are. So that is going to be a very interesting game for the Bucks, for every single player that won a championship with Chris Middleton, even for Doc Rivers, for Chris Middleton, and what that's going to feel like. I know the Bucks weren't the only team he had played for, but this is where he made a name for himself. This is where he became an All-Star. This is where he became an NBA champion. Played for Team USA when he was on the Milwaukee Bucks. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players in franchise history. So it sets up some very interesting subplots for this Bucks team in that game against a 9-win Washington Wizards team tomorrow night. We'll continue to take a look at that, have some more calls to get to as well. And Dick mentioned all the young guys. You touched on it a little bit at the top of the show as well. But there's one other guy I do want to talk about in terms of the three new players that the Bucks acquired and the impact we've seen from him, what it means for the overall structure of this roster, and another guy that was conspicuous by their absence. We'll get to that conversation coming up after this.
His old team drives inside, swivels inside, couple head fakes, and a nasty move inside as he lays it in. Kevin Porter Jr., Bucks are losing ground because the Clippers are hitting threes, but he's putting on a show.
Kevin Porter Jr., one of those new additions who had some nice moments against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I remember on that edition of Bucks Talk, there was a lot of Bucks fans getting ready to gas him up and his elite defense that he was bringing, and not to be the wet blanket, but he had some nice moments. Let's slow down. You saw some more nice moments tonight. There's still some inconsistencies, but look, we go back to the conversation we had at the time of the trade. The Bucks were basically buying low on a stock here. Marjon Beauchamp, you had already declined his fourth-year player option. I mean, that is a telltale sign. There's no future for you here. We don't intend to re-sign you in the offseason. So to get talent like Kevin Porter Jr. for a player that had fallen out of your rotation, you weren't going to make an effort to retain in the offseason, this has a chance to work out nicely for the Bucks. There are a lot of questions surrounding Kevin Porter Jr. Look, if you're out on him because of the history, I get it. We heard more from Ty Lue earlier today about Kevin Porter Jr. He didn't have much to say, but he was asked about Kevin Porter Jr. and his time in L.A., and Ty Lue said, I told Doc Rivers I loved him. He was really good for us. You can be misjudged when people don't know you. He was never a problem here. He definitely deserved a second chance. He was one of our best defenders, a very good rebounder for a guard, took on a new role coming off the bench, playing alongside ball-dominant guys and not being the offensive force that he was early in his career with teams like the Cavs and the Houston Rockets. He made those adjustments, and he excelled. I like him a lot. I'm really excited for him. I think he's a good kid, and I'm happy he's able to do this, and I was able to form that relationship with him. So we've heard a couple of guys share that story about Kevin Porter Jr. of Doc Rivers saying, look, we vetted this, and I talked with Ty Lue and some other guys in the Clippers organization. They told me similar things. We talked about it last time, too, Brandon. As long as you put yourself in the position to earn a second chance, everybody is deserving of that, and it's what do you do with that second chance? So I think that's the big thing with Kevin Porter Jr. because the talent is undeniable. And look, it's a small sample size, but if these two games tell us anything, he has moved past Ryan Rollins as the backup point guard for this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Justin. And I'll be quite honest with you, when I saw this trade happen, when it was first announced, I said to myself, I'm like, that's a win. Like, and it's not a knock on Marjon. It just the Bucks needed this type of player to come off the bench and be able to kind of be that, I don't want to say secondary ball handler, because I feel like that's a I don't know if that necessarily fits Kevin Porter Jr., but he gives you a little bit of wiggle that we didn't have coming off the bench. And again, no shade at Ryan Rollins either, but Kevin Porter Jr. is just a different type of player. 13 points tonight in 15 minutes. I mean, you just weren't getting that production out of your backup point guard. He's able to kind of create his own shot. I mean, his defense is right there. I thought when the trade was first announced, Justin, I was all about it. I mean, obviously you wanted the character stuff to kind of work itself out and make sure that was going to fit in within the locker room, which obviously the Bucks, John Horst, and Doc Rivers did. But then I remember you and I having this conversation, and I'm like, man, this is a great spot for him to come into. You know, it's a family-oriented team. Shout out to Kevin Porter Jr. He got engaged during the All-Star break, so you know he's making the steps in his life to go forward and move on after what happened. So it's a great opportunity for him to showcase, you know, who he's about. And Bucks fans should know about Kevin Porter Jr. Remember, this is the same guy that dropped 50 points on our head when he was in Houston. So the guy can get buckets, and I think he's a great fit on this Bucks team.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee. You're up next.
This is a really, it turned into a great day. Like, I feel so much comfort in your comments that the Bucks have known about the positive test for Bobby Portis since this fall. Like, I trust John Horst and the calculated decisions that he makes on behalf of the team. But, like, the trade deadline makes even more sense now. And anybody who had second thoughts about trading Chris for Kuz, like, now you got your answer. Like, he knew what was going to happen before it happened. And I don't know. I just feel really good about that. And I guess one question for you guys. What did you see out of Jericho Sims today? Like, how are you feeling about that acquisition and how he will fit in on this team?
So what I would say before we address Jericho Sims, Q, and thanks for the call, is I don't know how much of a role it played. I mean, the Bucks were certainly aware of a pending situation with Bobby Portis at the trade deadline. I don't think that was the impetus for, okay, we definitely have to bring in somebody else that can kind of fill that Bobby Portis void. Like, you don't trade Chris Middleton just because you're going to go 25 games without Bobby Portis. I mean, was it a part of that? Maybe. You know, when you look back at trading away Dante DiVincenzo and bringing in Serge Ibaka as a Brook Lopez insurance policy, and granted, it wasn't just we need somebody else to back up Brook. You didn't think you were going to be able to retain Dante in the offseason. But you can see when you are not dealing from a position of strength and you're more desperate in your moves, how things will pan out. So I don't know how much of a role it played. I'm sure there was some of it in there, not just a Kyle Kuzma, but the addition of Jericho Sims as well. Wasn't a ton that we saw from him. 17 minutes, and Doc even said before the game, look, he's going to get the chance tonight and go forward. You know, he's big. He's athletic. He runs the floor. I told him do all that and defend. Yesterday when we had one of our practices, I got after him. He's a shy guy, and he came up to me and told me he can switch and guard everybody, 1 through 5. And I immediately said that to everybody on the practice floor. Hey, guys, this guy said he can defend every single person on the floor. Go at him and attack him. I think you saw some moments of that tonight from Jericho Sims. I think he's a really nice change of pace guy when you need to fix and get younger or more athletic, depending on the matchup that you're going up against. But it's not to say this guy's going to take over minutes from Brook Lopez, because you saw the importance of Brook Lopez down the stretch tonight. I think where he's going to be most valuable is when you need energy, especially given Bobby Portis is a guy that's really handed that to the Bucks throughout the years. Because that's the other thing to keep in mind. Who's going to be the guy that fills that role to be kind of the energizer type for the crowd, the fans, his teammates as well? As Doc said before the game, it's not just how much the arena loves Bobby Portis. Bobby is kind of that voice in practice behind the scenes, too. And I had to be that today, and I don't have that type of voice that Bobby Portis does. So I am curious to see that, if he can be that energizer guy, but also perhaps most importantly, can he spare Brook Lopez? Like, can he, now that you have another big, can you find the right spots to play him where you can say we can get a stretch where we only have to play Brook Lopez 20 minutes for a handful of games and really start to preserve him for the playoffs?
Yeah, and I'm excited for Sims. I mean, obviously, he's, you know, the suspension played a role in him getting into the rotation, but I think from what I saw tonight, just defensively, because I completely agree with you, Justin, like, it's a different type of big man that we, you know, not again, nothing.
Yeah, he can move. He's, and I think that's the only challenge is,
right,
there were a couple of lineups they played that they clearly have never played before, where you looked at it and you, okay, they can switch 1 through 5 with this group on the floor. The only challenge, and that's where switching comes into play, is there's no rim protection. So if you get beat on the perimeter, it's a free line, you know, layup line that you're giving up to your opponent.
He's undersized.
He's 6'9".
As a big man, he's undersized. And you can tell tonight, too, like, he's still trying to figure things out. And it's his first game action since the trade was announced. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago. So I think tonight was a good step in the right direction for him. And I think we'll see more, obviously, as it goes on. And I'm curious to see what that looks like, especially with a healthy Giannis, you know, fully off those minute restrictions eventually down the road.
One more break to get to. We still got some calls to get to as well. Obviously, the big news, the suspension handed down to Bobby Portis. The Bucks with a very, very good win tonight against the Los Angeles Clippers as well. And he's starting to feel really good about this defense and the way that they can play differently on the defensive end. Jericho Sims, a big piece of that. So we'll get to the remaining calls that we have. And as we've already started to take a look, continue. What tomorrow's going to mean for this group when you go to D.C. and you're taking on Chris Middleton
and the Washington Wizards. We'll get to that coming up after this.
Bucks come back to take down the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. Back-to-back wins now going into and coming out of the All-Star break. And by the way, since 2018, Bucks are now 7-1 in their first game coming out of the All-Star break. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Just a couple of minutes left on the show. Let's squeeze in one more call from somebody who's been patiently waiting. Matt in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Hey, Justin, longtime listener. Love you guys. First thing is just kind of a statement. I mean, with Bobby, obviously such a great energy guy. I feel like he's got a great reputation around town and then probably through the league. I mean, he's always that guy who you love him on your team, hate him when you play him. So I feel like he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. Like, this was a mistake, an error that he will not make again. And I know he's definitely looking at some money in the future. So I'm curious to see how that all kind of plays out, you know, with him. Because, like, obviously I want him to financially, like, prosper, even if it's with the Bucks or not with the Bucks. I do wonder how that's going to affect his, like, negotiations.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, but that's just kind of a statement. The real question is, tomorrow night we go to Washington. We win, but Chris totally cooks us. How do you feel about that?
Fine.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'll be good with that.
Yeah, I was just talking about it with somebody else. Like, so does this feel more like Chris is going to have a 46-point game tomorrow, or I don't know, is it just me?
He just drops like a triple-double out of nowhere.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, too, acquired by the Wizards at the deadline. He is also not on the injury report. So it's going to be a much different look to the Wizards that we see tomorrow night. And thanks for the call, Matt. To get back to that first point that you made, it's going to cost Bobby $3 million this year in that 25-game suspension. But, yeah, your point about the offseason, when I know I had talked about it, too. I assumed, long assumed, Bobby Portis was going to decline his player option and get much more money on the open market, whether it's from the Bucks or somebody else. $13 million, roughly, for Bobby Portis is pretty good value with where things are headed with contracts in the league and what he gives you with the raw numbers. I mean, I think certainly before this, and I don't know that it even plays a role at all in any potential contract for Bobby Portis, but, you know, certainly before this news, I think he was in line for $20 to $25 million annually. So, yeah, I guess we'll wait to see what that means, if anything, in terms of his contract status, or what he does, picking up the player option. Perhaps this summer, if there's just no money out there. As we start to wrap here, and we mentioned tomorrow night against the Wizards is certainly going to be an interesting game for the obvious reasons. I do want to touch on one last thing from this game. We did not see Andre Jackson Jr.
Nope.
We had talked about this the last couple of weeks. Is it time to make some type of change to the starting lineup? And I think the names we referenced the most were A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr., but tonight it was Taurean Prince that you put in the starting lineup. It's easy to point to the wrist, and to be clear, we don't know. Maybe it was just the wrist was the reason that Andre Jackson Jr. did not play in this game. However, Doc Rivers didn't indicate Ajax was going to be out for that reason. Andre Jackson Jr. was not inactive for this game tonight. So I do wonder if what we're seeing is, all right, we really got to juice the offense here. That's been one of our issues, and it's just going to be a challenge for us to do that in some of these groupings with Andre on the floor. And again, like, you want to discover what's going to work in the playoffs and really start to spam that from here on out. I don't know how many minutes you're going to see Andre Jackson Jr. in the playoffs because of the offense. So
that's, I think, the big takeaway from this game into the next couple of games is, was this a wrist thing? Was this anything else? Or is this the start of a trend where, you know, maybe with some of the names that we mentioned, Jericho Sims now in there with Bobby Portis out, Kevin Porter Jr. and what he's brought, Kyle Kuzma's ability to play multiple positions. Is this just Andre Jackson Jr. is now in the same spot where maybe Ryan Rollins is, and he's kind of on the outskirts of the rotation?
Yeah, and if you're a Bucks fan, Justin, you and I have said it multiple times, the roster makes sense. It's a good problem to have, because if you don't want to start Andre Jackson Jr., that's okay. You got a handful of guys that can go in that, you know, in place of him, as well as Ryan Rollins not playing tonight. Yep. You talked about that on KBJ. So good problem to have for the Bucks fans, and maybe we'll see some Andre Jackson Jr. tomorrow.
Tomorrow night in D.C., 6 o'clock tip, the Bucks and the Wizards. Chris Middleton revenge game, potentially. 6 o'clock tip is when we get started. 5:30 is when the pregame coverage begins, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.